CJ Parker. I'll tell you one thing. I seen him on film the other day chasing a running back. And I said, who the heck is that matching the running back step for step? And I was like, oh, he a cheat code. As the more I start to watch film and, you know, learn my teammates and start to watch them do, and everybody in the league freaky in their own way. And he was chasing the running back. And I was like, he really matching him step for step. So that's just one of the things that he's just explosive, fast, a young kid. I don't know the extent of what his role is going to be this year, but I'm happy to play with him.
Ed Oliver. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio in half an hour. 803-0550 for your calls. We spent some time on the Knicks. Dan Leberfeld doesn't appreciate, and this is not a criticism, that we are not Mike and the Bulldog. My last name enters the
enters the fray, yeah.
Usually, if not always. So, it's funny to him and his followers that we're almost Mike and the Mad Dog, but right. Not we are not the Mad Dog, and we're really not Mike and the Bulldog either.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't...
Schopen the Bulldog. Is
that's why I don't play with him on that.
Yeah.
Because it's not exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, if he really wanted to lean into it, he could have tweeted, I'm going to be on with Mike and the Dog.
Yeah.
That would have...
Like Peter King would say.
Right.
He did say that once. Yes. We had audio of it. Yes. Let me tell you... No, it was Schopen the Dog, wasn't it? Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about Schopen the Dog.
Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Non sequitur city here.
It's not too hot to talk Sabres, is it?
Ain't going to be ever too hot to talk Sabres,
okay, good.
In my opinion, this offseason.
Alex Tuch is gone, right?
Probably, yes. Probably. But I still think that everything you've been hearing about the separation, it's been pretty consistent. But I said this last week, and I'll say it again, as we're another week closer, that it's in the player's best interest and their agent's best interest to get the word out. I think if you want to stay, and you want to try to drive the price up any way you can, and maybe there's some pressure that comes if everyone's talking about it all the time or whatever. I don't know. I still think the deadline could come, and he could, at the last minute, just take the best offer the Sabres have, because he never really wanted to leave. It wasn't in his heart. His wife really likes it here. Whatever. I don't know. I don't want to close the door entirely on that. He will be offered, if he goes to the market, more money somewhere else. There's almost no question about that. So if that's what it ends up being all about, I'm not being judgmental by saying that. Like, if that's the path he goes, then, yeah, I think he's probably gone. But I think there's still, to me, hope that he just is trying to get the best deal he can for himself while never really wanting to leave. And if that's the case, then we could get kind of like, you remember Stamkos? How many years ago was that? You know, we were hot and heavy about Stamkos. He's going to get to the market. He's going to get to the market. He's near, you know, the family's nearby. Like, that might be compelling. It's not Toronto, but, you know, maybe Buffalo. And then on June 30th, not going anywhere. Staying 7 years, whatever it was, stayed in Tampa. That's similar. I mean, Tuch is not Steven Stamkos, a legendary cup-winning captain. But he was a kingpin guy on that team, and it seemed like he was going to go to market. He was the number one target in free agency, and at the last minute, he stayed. So I think that could still happen. But the most likely scenario is he's going to get a huge 7-year contract somewhere else for maybe $12 million a year and be gone.
Well, I'll say the line, I'm gullible. So I am basing my expectations here on these. It's often the case that the insiders all report the same thing, mm-hmm. which, you know, isn't a bad thing, because that might be a sign that it's accurate. Like, they're all getting the same information and saying the same thing. But it's more than just, to my eyes and ears, it's more than just the objective aspect that apparently the Sabres don't want to get to Tuck's request, as has been seemingly the case for months. I mean, going back well into the season. There's more language to these reports than just that. And that's also how I found, and we talked about it, Kekalainen to be, when he talked about Tuch a couple of different times at a press conference and then in a radio interview. he's saying a little bit more, I think. And then I think that comes through in Elliott and Pierre LeBrun and the like. I think he's saying a little bit more than, you know, look, we'd love to get this done, but sometimes you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe he doesn't want to do it. And, you know, there's a number that he would do it at, but it seems that it's not close to what Tuck thinks he can get. So what is that even to say about the Sabres' interest in keeping Tuck? It's really not. It's like a token effort. And I don't think I want to blame them, but that's what it sounds like to me. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, we're not slamming the door on him, but we know how far apart our idea is from his. And then, you know, sort of what's the point when it's like that? You think I'm right?
Well, I would tell you not to be so hard on yourself for being. I mean, it's a bit of your brand. You're gullible. I think in this instance, I'm the one who's being gullible because I'm the one over here talking about the hokey hometown. You know, all that. Like, that's more gullible than the cold blooded reality of big time pro sports, where we're talking about, you know, a difference of $10 million over the lifetime of a contract, maybe. Like, it's a lot of dough. So, you know, it's easy to sit on the sideline and say, how much money do you need? So I think my, you know, explanation there of what, you know, what could still happen is more gullible than what you're suggesting, which is mostly reading the room, which, you know, there's every reason to think the guy's going to walk, I think, right now. The other little nugget I'll throw in, again, because I just thought of it while you were talking there, because, you know, the Sabres have seemingly been at whatever number they're at, and the gap has not ever really been bridged at all, effectively. You're right, the reporting has been consistent going back into, like, February, I think, on this. Is that Kekalainen... Sure, he sounds like he sounds, and I agree. He sounds like someone who is trying to prepare the fan base to lose a player that they like really like and want on the team, a very good player and an important player. So that's I think the right read too. He also, though, could know by July 1st whether he's going to be able to pull another big move to replace him. And if that doesn't come to fruition, if for some reason, whatever number of deals he might have irons in the fire on, he gets beat at the table and has to fold, that could change the Sabres' position. I'm not here to tell you that that's great process. And I don't know, Tuck maybe could end up offended. Maybe the way Drury eventually was when, you know, it took you how long? Now you're coming with the deal I would have took? You know, that kind of thing. But they could pivot to, you know, well, we couldn't get Robert Thomas and we couldn't trade for Matthew Nyes and we couldn't, whatever grab bag you want to talk about of ideas that are out there. And those ideas are all out there and being written about. He can't pull something off that he feels suitably replaces him. Then, well, I was willing to go to 9.5, but how does 10.5 strike you? You know, because I don't want to take a step back. And if I've missed my window to get a suitable replacement or replacements for Alex Tuck, then maybe I got to just kind of suck it up and live with the contract that I didn't want to do a month ago.
I suppose. Not to push back on that. I think you would agree with this. I see Kekalainen as somebody that has a lot of confidence in himself. And what can he or can he not do in a trade market? You're talking about a scenario where he has his answer by the end of June and then maybe makes a move on Tuck. But before that, I think he's somebody that can get people to say yes. He seems like he might have that trait. And, man, that's a good trait. We've had GMs that did not have that.
I hope that's right. I mean, his first kick at it in the winter was Colton Parayko, and that didn't work.
Well, they said yes to the deal.
Oh, sure.
The Blues said that yes.
Part, but get the player to say yes is the, can, you know, the tricky part.
And if you make that deal, and however it got out, without even yet having the consent of the player, all the more reason to think that, we'll get this done. I mean, I'm not worried. I think he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And what I've been saying about the Tuck situation is, apart from how much confidence he has, you know, if he's doing his job, which I would assume he is, he's got contacts everywhere. Some probably have been contacts of his for many years and has been working on ideas. You know, this is still the Blues, perhaps, or maybe it's every team. You know, here are the possibilities. He would know all that by now. Maybe somewhere there's a board over there that has every team and like every player that, or just be on a file or something where you'd have a base knowledge of their availability and you'd already know your own interest in the player. What I want to have happen, nothing against the idea of keeping Tuck, is for this GM, a real GM, to have that figured out and be able to find his way to a player. He's got assets. Find his way to a player who is younger, that he thinks is the right fit and can produce almost to the same extent, if not to the same extent. Maybe he won't be 6'4". And he wants that too. That's how he acted at the deadline, going out and getting size like he did. But it just every passing day makes it seem that they're just not close on him. It does remind me of like Drury.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of these other ones over the last decade haven't meant anything. Just all right. And even last year, I'd have to admit, signing Zucker and maybe someone else. There was someone else. Greenway?
Yep.
Like, why bother when you're here? But the Sabres were rewarded for that. That's Adams. The Sabres were rewarded for keeping what they had together. And, you know, if not Greenway, Zucker paid them off with a very good season.
Let me just color. We've got to get to a break here. Just all the way into the lines here. I mentioned Nyes. I don't want to get people. I don't want to irresponsibly get people excited. Like there's been a lot of reporting about a trade that almost got to the finish line at the deadline involving Nyes with Montreal, Toronto, and Montreal, and the paperwork was late and it didn't happen. And I just want to at least mention, it's possible he still gets traded. It's also possible that the GM at the time, Charles Living, was like flailing around in a life preserver fighting for his life and might have done something really reckless, like trade an excellent big 23-year-old two-way forward who's certainly got, he's got Tuck's production in his future if he's not already there. Nice. Like, I love this player. He's under contract till 2031, 7.5 or 7.75 is the number. 23 years old. I mean, that's the guy you describe when you're saying go find a guy that, you know, replaces him, that's younger and cheaper, and like there it is. And that would be a excellent move. I just don't know that the new leadership in Toronto is going to be eager to trade him. I think the guy that was running the show before was on his last legs and it's probably great for Toronto that they didn't get that trade done.
And that would cost you somebody significant.
It's going to cost you a lot. Yeah, it should. If he's on the market, like that is tough. It's the division, whatever. They were going to turn into Montreal. That's plug and play. Excellent replacement.
Ooh, that would be fun as a GM to try to capitalize on another GM you think is lame duck. I mean, it's serious business over here. Oh, you're quitting the league? But maybe I can get a good deal off of you.
Right.
What will it take? What can I throw in? How can I sweeten this offer? We'll see. Sal Capaccio coming up in just more than 15 minutes, talking Bills. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.